This is an MUT Radio podcast.
I've promised you that I will just do bring the professor of community engagement, Professor Nkonki Mandlini. Prof, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Prof, we are celebrating on this day, we are celebrating an upcoming holiday, so we're seeing now on Friday, which is Human Rights Day. And of course, before seeing an egg on a prof, I would like to just take us back. Who is Professor Nkonki Mandlini? If you will know Prof Uti, whenever we'll have a meeting, I will say, I want to be Prof Nkonki Mandlini. I don't know. I just like your name. I don't know. But who is Professor Nkonki Mandlini?
And Buddhist 40 to Balalili be MUT Radio. Yes, my name is Professor Nkonki Mandlini, but my first name is Busisiwe.
Oh.
Yes, and then Mandlini is my married surname.
Oh.
Nkonki is my maiden surname.
Oh.
So I'm using both surnames. I decided not to lose touch with my original surname.
Mm.
So hence I've got two surnames. I was born in the Eastern Cape, former Transkei.
Mm.
From a family of 9 children, 5 boys and 4 girls. And I was born in an environment or in a society where ukuthwala was quite a norm in the Eastern Cape. Ukuthwala is whereby a teenage girl will be forcefully taken for marriage to a man that she does not even know.
Oh.
But it was part of the culture. Part of the norm, but fortunately, having born in that environment, I was lucky to have enlightened parents. My mother was a teacher, my father was a teacher. In as much as they were born in rural areas, they decided to move a small town where I was born, and that culture of ukuthwala was not there. So that is where I was so lucky, because I did not fall into that trap that most women have missed opportunities because of ukuthwala. As a result, those women do not have the opportunities to lead in the society. They don't have the opportunities to be like me, to be a professor. So that is basically my background.
I love it to hear that story, Prof. And ukuthwala, I think it's kind of an abuse. Because a lot of people, if you force me to marry someone without my consent, it's an abuse on its own. And of course, you are just limiting me to be something in the future. And I love it because your parents were so enlightened. And of course, they allow you to grow and to be a professor, Busisiwe Nkonki Mandlini. And we love it. And take me through the experiences in the community and has shaped you to become this woman you are today. And if we speak about a professor Nkonki Mandlini, the Department of Nyona Community Engagement, what led you to study and of course to be in this department?
Thank you very much for that question. When I grew up, I wanted to be a social worker. We used to be, because we stayed in a small town where there was police station services, library services, magistrate office services, and so on. So we used to be visited by this lady who was a daughter to the late icon, Dada Olihlahla Mandela.
Oh, wow.
So she was a social worker in that small town of ours in Qendane. So I wanted to be like her. I aspired to be like her. Unfortunately, my father passed on when I was still very young, 15 years old. And then there was no money for me to go to university so that I can become a social worker. Fortunately, my mother gave me a teaching profession. And then through that teaching profession, I was able to make my way up to university. And then for university, I studied agriculture. And then I studied for my PhD, climate change and adaptation. And during my studies, I discovered that women were more and vulnerable to climate change because of their economic backgrounds, and also the fact that they are treated as less equal than men in our society. So fast forward, I found myself at MUT in 2015, I became a director for community engagement and development in the office, in the directorate of community engagement and development. And my role here was and still to coordinate community engagement across all the faculties. In other words, I work with the deans of the faculties, work also with students, so that they can have projects that they can carry out by sharing their knowledge and their skills with the community. But at the same time, while they are sharing their knowledge and skills with the community, they are also learning from it. It should be a win-win. One of the principles, for instance, in the policy of engagement is reciprocity. We give, but at the same time, as the university, get back. Why do you want to get back? Because we want to improve our curriculum so that we have a curriculum that is not so westernized, or not so Eurocentric, but at least has got that element of African knowledge. So that is basically what I do as a director for community engagement. I have learned a lot also on my journey as a director, because I, as I indicated earlier on, this year it will be my 10th year as a director. And also based on the background of my PhD in climate change and adaptation, I do also have projects that are empowering women on climate change issues. And I've discovered that there are so many challenges amongst women, such as lack of access to knowledge, the basic knowledge about climate, how to deal with climate change issues, and also about the fact that they don't have access to resources. For instance, technology that is needed to adapt to climate change or to mitigate to the effects of climate change. And also the burdensome roles that they have in their households, such as taking care of children, taking care of the elderly as the primary responsibility, which is now being intensified by the effects of climate change. Economic disparities, for instance, where women are more likely to live in poverty, and they are so much prone into rising prices of food. Health vulnerabilities. It's also part of parcel of this climate change effect, because when they are experiencing extreme heats, excessive floods, it also has an effect on their health. And also the fact that they are they've got limited roles in decision making. Men have got they're the ones that are decision makers in our communities. So those that space it quite excites me as with that background in climate change, and also the fact that I am in this space for community engagement. It also assists me as well to extend my knowledge to such vulnerable conditions.
I love it, Prof. And speaking of women's, of course, gender equality, it's one of the raise issues that we have to raise even now and then, because lots of women's, they are scared to take the front role, to take the lead role because of this masculinity. But right now, as Professor Ngoge Mandleni, you are saying you can also be Professor Ngoge Mandleni. If you are a young lady who is listening to this interview, be inspired about by Prof. Ngoge Mandleni, as Gukona campaigns or Ranayo Prof and some projects. The question Yam Namtanji, as we were celebrating International Women's Day, Professor, as we celebrate International Women's Day on March 8th, what message do you think is most important of young women to hear?
For young women, I wish they could hear that being a professor is possible. It's not a no-go zone. If it has happened to me, it can also happen to them. The only thing that is required is that we have more role players or role models, more role models, so that the young ones can look up to their role models. And also when they arrive at a space where they can become on the path of becoming professors, they need a lot of mentoring. They also need a lot of coaching as well. So that support system is very, very critical for the young women. And also for us as the professors, as you are indicating, we really need to be out there to be more visible to the young one, so that they can be, they can aspire to become a professors as well. And also, we know very well that once you are called a professor, there are a lot of expectations from you as a woman.
True.
And they should be able to rise to that occasion by getting that support system through mentoring and coaching.
Section 9 saying the right to equality. Which are some females, maybe, Prof, that you were looking up on them when you were growing up as a person who's been in the industry for 10 years, a decade, being a professor in your field, and who inspired you to resist your platform and, of course, your name?
It's my mom.
Oh, wow.
My mom was not a prof.
Mm-hmm.
She was just an ordinary teacher. However, she played a lot of leadership roles in her community.
Mm.
She was at some stage a town manager. That time we used to call them a town clerk.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
So she was doing that leadership role. At some stage, she was a counselor.
Oh, wow.
Yes. In 1994, so she was doing a lot of leadership roles there. And at some stage, she was also leading women on how to do self-help projects. We used to call that in the Eastern Cape, Uzenzele. In fact, it was not in the Eastern Cape, it was in Transkei at that time, where women were told to make things on their own, such as household detergents, so that they can complement the salaries that their husbands brought to the home. Because we know that time women, especially married women, were not allowed to work when the husbands are working. So there were a lot of spaces where she was so brave to lead. And she used to tell me all these stories. And I went to an extent of writing a book about her, because she was doing a lot of leadership roles. There was a time she was also asked to lead on radio talk, where she would inspire women, especially women that are struggling in their marriages, so that they can be resilient, so that they can be able to raise their children. So that aspect of resilience I have learned from her, that even in this space that I'm in, where female professors are not much as men, as male professors, but I have learned to be resilient. And also, the fact that my brothers were bigger than me, I had lots of protection from them. Mm. They are still protective of me even now. So they also are the ones that inspired me to be where I am today, because they also believed in me. So it's very, very important. I just want to send this message, especially to the young ones. That is very, very important to have a role model. Mm. And at the same time, to have somebody that supports you. There's nothing as painful as having a situation whereby you want to achieve a certain level in your career, but there is no role model. And also, there's no one who is trying to help you to achieve. There's no support system. So I'll really make it loud on radio now, that let us have role models for the young girls, mm-hmm. and also that let's have as much support as possible. I know some of the girls are coming from homes where there are no parents, mm-hmm. because of the pandemic of HIV, AIDS, and so on and so forth. Let us, those parents, that those community members that are out there, they must play a role of being leaders to those young girls, because they need them to inspire them. They also need them to support them. They also need an affirmation to say, you can do it. It is possible. And also expose them to different platforms, locally and international, to show them that there are so many women leaders out there, mm-hmm. that they have made it in life. So that is basically what is required.
Well said, Prof. If we come back to the Human Rights Month as we celebrate this 30th, yes, in the Human Rights, yes, 30th. And how can we ensure that the momentum and awareness as being generated during Human Rights Month is continued throughout the years?
I'm going to speak from the point of higher education.
Mm-hmm.
Higher education has got a mandate by DHET on community engagement. It's not only at MUT. All the universities have got a mandated to carry out community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this is a platform where universities can have projects that are encouraging young ones to aspire to be leaders, and also to know their rights, knowing where we come from, knowing the path that our forerunners, like the big female leaders like Omama Madikizela Mandela, Lilian Ngoyi, and so forth and so on. They need to be told about those stories again and again and again, so that they know that we are where we are because of our forerunners. And also to be told that there's still more that needs to be done. There's still a gap in female leadership, in the sense that there are still more males leaders compared to female leaders.
I love it. And I'm sure a young girl who's listening right now is muchly inspired to become a leader in whatever role that she inspired to be on. And of course, as Professor Songena Kweshini Namhlanje, that I was waiting to ask you, Guti, can you just maybe tell us about your work as a director of community engagement and how it relates to human rights this month? How it relates and what are some maybe campaigns that you will run outside Leskoleni and outside the communities?
For us as a directorate, our role is to basically coordinate community engagement in the sense that we provide support to the academics and also to the students. And we also bring awareness to pressing issues and also special commemorative days like this one, which is the 21st of March, which is the Human Rights Day. So our role really is to bring that information to our to the university at large, so that whatever creativity they have, we don't confine them to say do it this way. Because we want them to be creative, we want them to think out of the box, because they come from different communities. And when they come to the university, remember, they bring their communities on board. So they know exactly the challenges that are experienced in those communities. And therefore, when they come to our offices, they will always have a concept or an idea in their mind to say, this is the activity or this is the project that I would love the office to support me. So our role as a directorate is to just do some needs analysis and check if there is indeed a need for this particular project by visiting such a community, so that we can get a confirmation that there is really a need for such a project. Once we are happy with that a needs analysis being carried out, then we offer assistance to the university community, whether it's a lecturing staff member or students, by writing a proposal to say, what is it that I want to do? What problem do I want to address? And we make sure that when this is carried out, they do it together with the community itself, so that they can get the buy-in of the project that needs to be done. It's quite painful to assume that the community needs one or two. It is supposed to come from the community itself. Hence, we always emphasize that even when you say there is a problem, did you agree with the community that there is a problem? Or you just sit in the comfort of your office or your classroom to say, I assume that this community has got a specific problem. Go to the community, sit with them, craft the problem statement. That problem statement that you were taught to do when you were doing your master's and your PhD, do it to the community. So that a problem statement is something that is agreed upon, not only by the lecturing staff member or student, but also by the community. So that proposal, when it is carried out, is done and is crafted with specific objectives and also achieve milestones that need to be achieved, we offer support by implementation first of the project itself, and then monitor the project in evaluating its effectiveness. Why? Because we need to make sure that the project or the initiative that is undertaken in that community has got an impact. So we do what we call impact assessment. Has that intervention brought change to the community? And if it has brought change, what change is it bringing to us as the university? Is it influencing our curriculum so that we can improve the curriculum, the way we teach as lecturing staff members? So that is basically what we do. And we also bring in that concept of researching with the community so that any new ways of doing things in the communities is something that is agreed upon by both the MUT community member and also the community. I just want to clarify one thing. When you say community at MUT, community is not just an ordinary community or ordinary person walking on the street. So I need to clarify it, because at MUT, the way we define a community, say civil society organizations, that is community number one. Could be an NGO, could be an NPO, and could be a CBO. That's our community. The second community is the business industry. That is our community. Could be Pick and Pay, could be Nyandu Mall. And then the third community is government. Government departments, whether it's education or agriculture. So that is how basically we define our community. We also have international communities, by the way, where we partner with universities outside South Africa so that we can learn from them while they learn from us how we carry out community. So that is basically, in a nutshell,
that is very impactful, Prof. The community engagement of MUT, it has done a lot in our communities around KZN. And I will just say congratulations for that. And we're very pleased to have you as a leading role. And lastly, Prof, I would like to just ask this pressing question. Would maybe, if you maybe can share with us any initiative or programs that you are involved in that promotes gender equality and women's empowerment. Yes, gender-based violence, it's something that is a vile in our communities. And if maybe Kapunama campaigns are teaser that also address those issues.
Yes, we do. One, we've got projects that look into young girls. We started them, I think, 6 years before the COVID-19 lockdown. Coding and robotics.
Oh, wow.
We are in the 4IR, remember?
And
we're heading for the 5IR.
Yeah.
So we had a pilot project, and in that pilot project, we made sure that more, 60% is girls, while 40% is boys. Subsequent to that, we were lucky or fortunate, let me put it that way, to be funded by DSI under the ministerial special project, because of the work that we did as MUT as a pilot project. Where now we brought in 4 schools, 3 from the Midlands and then 1 from Umlazi, on the same subject of coding and robotics. Currently, we have partnerships, because I forgot to indicate earlier on, community engagement is a mandate that is not funded by teaching and learning. So we depend on partnerships. So we partner a lot with the community out there. So we've got partnerships, for instance, with Azibuye, Digital Solutions, where last year, and we're still continuing, with a project which we call Code Like a Girl Bootcamp. Code Like a Girl Bootcamp is benefited by those schools that are in far-flung rural areas of Umlazi. It went very well in partnership with Vodacom. In fact, Vodacom is the one that funded that project. And then this year we were graduating them. And next month in April, for those that could not make it because of the weather, problems, they could not make it to the graduation, will be visiting those rural schools to distribute those certificates to appreciate them. Mm. So that is basically what we're doing. We also have STEM projects. We've got, for instance, a project that is led by Dr. Vikash from Faculty of Health, Applied Health and Sciences,
mm-hmm.
and also from the Faculty of Engineering, Mr. Chibango, and also Dr. Chisonga. That project is a special project because we, as a directorate, decided that let's have a specific funding put aside and issue a call that is going to attract girls, mainly girls, to do a project on coding a robot. That project is doing wonders as I'm speaking.
Oh, wow.
So we are very excited about that project. And it also makes them realize that they have a specific space as women in the society. And we are hopeful that with that project, they will grow in their thinking that our roles do not end in this project, but we can be innovative and be in areas that have not been ventured before by their innovations. Because when they do these projects on coding and robotics, it's where now they come up with new ways of doing things, and they become so. So that is basically what we are doing. And also last year, and even a year before last, we are still going to do it again this year. We partnered with a Goodman Foundation on gender-based violence. We are, our aspiration here is to make our students, especially at MUT, and learners around Umlazi, their rights to say no to gender-based violence. So that is basically what I can think of for now. But really, moving forward, as a female leader, I really am passionate about girls, and I'm also passionate about the fact that women, young girls, should know and should be aware that they do have the right in society.
Prof, thank you so much for your time. I am inspired. Quite to say, I'm very inspired by your journey. If Prof Gogi Mandlin can do it, you can also do it.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.